All right. Wonderful. Welcome, everybody. Linda's going to go out for just a second. And welcome to our, and she's going to log back in. Welcome to our class. It is Saturday, the sixth day of the week, on the sixth day of the month of the of August 2022. And today, I'm so excited. Linda's going to talk about using T-Touch on ourselves and what she's been doing for Roland and helping him a lot. And I will be tying it into talking about the psoas and then encouraging walk. You might ask yourself why. Because the psoas is a huge, large grouping of muscles that start at the 12th thoracic vertebrae. And each of it, it's two, and each of the muscles is the width of a soft fist, not a tight fist, but a soft fist. So put your fist in front of you and just look around at the thickness that that is. And no matter how big or tiny of a person you are, that in proportion is the size of the psoas. And it starts at the 12th thoracic vertebrae, and it connects to every vertebrae all the way down and hooks to the top of your femur, the top of your thigh bones. And it is what's known as the flexor muscle. It's the muscle that allows us to bring the leg up to us and move the leg. So it's involved in moving the leg. So when you see people who shuffle or waddle side to side, the psoas is not getting to do its supple job it's designed to do. It could be for neurological reasons. It could be because somebody injured an ankle, a toe, a foot, a knee, or a hip, and then they're taking the weight off of it. It could be because they're carrying chronically a backpack over one shoulder, or for women, a purse. It also could be for emotional reasons. Why emotional reasons? Because remember, we've talked about that amazing vagus nerve system. The vagus nerve travels around the outside and weaves through the psoas muscle. So some people use the psoas muscle to as just a heavy-duty guide wire, when in fact it the guide wire effect is just keeping our posture upright. And when we keep it nice and hydrated and soft and supple, it can flex and extend and move without doing ridiculous psoas stretch exercises. There's all these people that have come into the physical fitness world where they're like, oh, we're going to go in and do a psoas stretch. Or you go for a massage and they're going to go in and go in deep, 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 painful to get to the psoas muscle. You never, never want to do that, because the psoas is almost as deeply innervated with nerves that go through it as your, it's your nervous system, which is why if the psoas gets dried out and fatigued, we can feel low, depressed, or anxious. It's also connected to the base of the diaphragm. Holy cow, there's so much. If you want, I'll show you some pictures of what it looks like, where it's connected, but it's kind of like the connector. It's your interstate highway. It's connecting all the states, all the cities, all the towns. It's the thing that connects everything. And so it's so important, and it's not just for humans, but it's for dogs and cats and everyone on four legs for being able to have good, healthy gait. Yes, Linda.
Eleanor, so the reason I asked Eleanor to go back to the psoas, because we did this a couple of months ago, and it really helped a lot of people. And I worked very gently on that psoas at the top of the femur. And it made Roland, he didn't know why it made a difference. And I, you know, it is said that we retain like 7% of what we hear. And I think that's overdriven. I doubt that it's that much now because of COVID. And when you just said it can get dried out, this is what we were working on in Germany for Roland with his Parkinson's and his arthritis in his lower back, is that this whole connective tissue fascia, as we age or don't get enough movement or dries out and gets, can actually get like, if you cut it, it feels like brittle is what Sibylla was talking about when they were doing dissections. It's really the different sound. And you can work with that, which is what we were doing with a MD who is also a PT, and worked with on Roland and started to do it. And I've showed you a little bit of that. But this psoas thing, I think it's so important. Eleanor, when you said we can have problems with this because of emotional issues, think of how we've all been affected by what's going on around the world. And this, so I just want, I want you to, I really want us to, some of the things that really stop and think about what you're saying, because it's so, it was so important. And we didn't mention this before. You didn't mention the connection with the vagus nerve and the emotions and all of that. And I just think this is like really precious material. Some of you, hi, Jill, I see you, and Joy, it's, and Sandra, thank you, and Harriet, thank you that you're able to join us, and Catherine, hi.
You know, Linda,
As Eleanor is speaking, if somebody wants you to repeat something, let's stop and really think about some of this, because you, I've just tried to write all of you said, and you've been giving us a lot of jewels here.
Mm.
Then we'll start working as we did before, following it on ourselves. But I, does anybody have anything that you heard here that you, that caught you, like this caught me when you talk about the emotions and the connection of the psoas to the vagus nerve and our emotions and COVID? Anybody want? Yeah, okay, Pam, great. And please, like in Catherine also.
And then Catherine, yeah.
I think hearing again, and probably just because of circumstances, hearing again about how the emotional and physical, especially with something like the psoas, that's so deep, primary, I guess I would call, attached with the diaphragm. It was just like, oh my gosh. You know, I think I missed that the first time around somehow. it was literally an impact. It was like, it makes so much sense. And not only that, is like, it's so what I needed to understand again, or process, think about today.
Yeah, you're gonna, sorry, I'm using the mic on my phone, which is why you won't hear me from my actual face. You'll see the box light up down below. But I will, when we finish with the questions, after Megan asks and after Catherine says something, or anyone else, I'm going to show you, I want to show you a photo of it. And because Linda made a good point regarding the era of COVID, and I want to point out to the diaphragm and tie those two in. So go ahead, Megan and Catherine and anyone else, and then I'll show you the photo, a picture.
I'll go.
Yeah. Oops, unmute yourself.
Okay, I'll go, but I thought Catherine was next, but okay, very quickly, I've had a long time this issue with walking and my hips, thinking it was my hips. And not because I haven't been able to stretch because I can't get off the floor and blah, blah. But but I, the connection to psoas is might really be key for me, for because I feel that waddle and I'm like, oh my God, not really. And the shuffling thing, and I concentrate on lifting, bending my knees and lifting my leg up when I walk, because shuffling, you know, you're going to go down eventually, you're going to fall. And so anyway, but so I was thinking this because my hips and my lower back are so tight, not making that connection. And so thank you. I'm thrilled. I can't wait to see the connection. That's all.
Very good. Ooh, me too. I can hardly wait. Okay, Catherine.
I just can't believe that you're talking about this today, because I've been really struggling. In January, I was in a really bad horseback riding accident and I literally broke something from head to toe, from my teeth to both wrists to my lower back, and then my foot. So obviously I was immobile for so long, and that caused that stiffness and that brittleness. And once I started moving again and going to PT, things have gotten a lot better. I mean, I used to walk like this and that was painful. And so little by little, as we've just concentrated on stretching and loosening up the fascia and the muscles, I've gotten a little bit straighter. But if I don't stretch for almost an hour every morning, I struggle. But there is still one area, and no one's been able to put their finger on it, because it kind of starts, it's like if my hip feels like it's a little out of place, I do those stretches where you pull the knee to the chest and, you know, try to do the opposite resistance, and that helps. But it's a funny little feeling that comes from almost like my hip all the way down the front of my thigh, and it just changes everything. And it's just unreal that it's, we're talking about this today, because, you know, I've been going to acupuncture and trying so many different modalities to try to loosen something in there, but I don't know what it is, and no one's been able to put their finger on it. So I'm very excited to learn more about this and try what you have to offer. Thank you.
Well, oh my goodness, because now I want to jump into multiple pictures to show you. Linda, you can go ahead and unmute yourself. I muted you when your phone was ringing. Let me just show you a couple of pictures. So hold on. Let's see if I can do this. Okay. Hold on. Okay. So look, can you see the cursor moving around? Yeah, okay, yeah. Fantastic. So here's the skeleton, and here's the psoas, and here's the iliopsoas, because the psoas by itself is nothing. Anything by itself is nothing, because everything is connected together as the universe is connected together. And so you'll see, here is the psoas, and it starts at the 12th rib. Do you see that? That's the last rib and the 12th thoracic vertebrae. And then after this one, I'm going to look and show you the one for the diaphragm, and you're going to see how the two connect together. It connects. So look how thick it is. And it connects to every vertebrae going down to the bottom. So it's the 12th thoracic vertebrae, lumbar 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And then it travels through this opening, surrounded by the inguinal ligament. So you think of the inguinal area and issues that people can have pulling it. And then it travels around the inside. And this is where Linda worked with Roland, I think, was she was describing to me. And then she described yesterday when we were talking about it, which got me so excited. She goes, you know, Moshe Feldenkrais never said what he's doing, and he never used the name of muscles because he didn't want people to know anatomy. He wanted people to get inside their bodies to sense and feel and improve from awareness for everybody. But here is exactly where Linda described Moshe was working and exactly where Linda was working with Roland. And it could be with a person lying on their back where you kind of lift their leg and get behind there and work with it. Or they can be lying on their belly and right below the cheeks of the butt, you can get to the leg back there. And I'm not meaning hard and deep. I'm sure Linda was doing it in all different ways of circular touches, whether it's the pads of the fingers, raccoon touch, the side. And I'm going to have Linda talk about that because it's really important to know, because it's not just what the difference it made for Roland, and she's going to do it again and get feedback from him and then let us know. But it's also what we can do for ourselves, because look, I can go to me, I can get my hand under here and I can just put my raccoon fingers right here and I can rock my pelvis. I'm not lifting up into it and going deep.
I can't
No.
We can't see.
You can't see?
No, we can't see you.
Unshare your screen.
Oh, right. Duh. Hold on. Where are you? Thank you for saying that. Sheesh.
It was okay until a moment ago. I don't know what happened.
Can you hear me now?
We can hear you, but we can't see you.
I stopped screen sharing.
Oh, no, there you are. She's in two places, you all.
Yeah, I'm in two places. Okay, so you see, I'm using my raccoon fingers for me, an example. But don't do what people go in and go, forget about it. That doesn't talk to the nervous system. That doesn't produce oxytocin. We're encouraging listening skills within our skills. We're encouraging listening through touch into ourselves.
Talking
to the cells, because the cells talk to everyone inside.
And Eleanor, may I interject something? Talking to the cells, it's actually connecting with that divine intelligence, that phenomenal cellular intelligence in every cell in our body. So when you go in, just as Eleanor is doing there, and connect, think with the tiniest 1 1/4 circles in a connection, wait a minute, we can, it's like supporting, it's like tuning in to the intelligence of the body. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And as you talk, Eleanor, this is so incredible. And I would like to, if you possibly can, maybe you could just invite us to sit somehow,
yes,
reach in there and just start just thinking, we are connecting with the intelligence of the universe, with that divine intelligence that is in every cell in our body. This is who we are.
So then let's first, before we touch ourselves, just open up our hands with thanks to the universe. And as I found a video this week from my own Mamala, who said, oh, Genesis is in our hands. Genesis is the beginning of all things that were. And within that is our hands. And our hands are what touch. Our hands are what heal. Our hands are what give. Then our hands are the connection between Genesis and us. And I'm like, I'm just turn on my video and I'm listening to her going, oh, look, it's in my hands. This is the Genesis. And to see her honest in it. So bring this honest in all that is within that universe, the universal intelligence that we bring into our hands, because it really is what's real. Moshe Feldenkrais said, hands can heal and hands can kill. What do you choose to do with your hands?
So in this, we're touching in and bringing in the light. With this, we can now bring this to touch ourselves, because it's beyond the power of just us. It's connecting the universe through our hands to us. So in that, thank you, Linda, for saying that, because I wouldn't have been able to go there. So without doing, but just bringing that into our hands, that's a moment. And taking it and going under and letting the pads of our fingers just rest on that part of the bone of the femur, the inside bone, and just rock around the pads of the finger. Now, we're not doing with the fingers, but we're rocking around the fingers around the clock. And why? Because we're engaging the softness of the psoas. The psoas starts at the 12th thoracic vertebrae, and it goes all the way down each vertebrae to connecting to the inside of the bone of the femur. And now we can talk back up to the psoas and encourage suppleness, suppleness in our psoas, no matter what our age is. No matter what they say is dehydrated and dried out or crystalline, we can encourage the softness, not by digging into that bone, but by bringing the awareness of touch from our fingers to the bone there and rocking around that leg and moving our ribs around the clock just a few times, and then go counterclockwise a few times. No stretching, no pulling, no nothing, but encouraging the movement of the psoas to be involved in all its softness. Come back to the middle and very gently just start to slide the fingers out slowly, slowly. Take several moments to just slide little bit by little bit the fingers out, and then let them rest on your lap and notice how you're sitting. Does that side feel different than the other side?
Wow.
Pretty amazing. And how does that side of your belly feel also? Is there something different in that? So not just the sit bones, but all the way up that side. That's the quietingness, softeningness of the psoas and the nerves that travel through it and go to all these organs in the belly. Because you see, the psoas creates an arched kind of shelf that your kidneys sit on top of also. And if your kidneys are supported in this soft shelf where the nerves are firing through easily and comfortably, then the kidneys can take a break and not work so hard.
Can we look at that again, at the image again? Let's visualize that.
Yes.
And this is fascinating.
Look at this. So the kidneys, so the psoas makes like an arched shelf. This is just a diagram. If you saw it for reals, you would see there's a little bit of an arched shelf in here. And the kidneys nestle back into it. So you see the psoas is not just one, but look at, there's another component of it here. And so it just shows on this one. So there's the psoas major and the psoas minor.
And you'll see the psoas minor connects down here into the inguinal area differently. The psoas major is the one that goes through that arch and connects all the way to that beautiful inside that we just sat on with our finger pads. Now, when the kidneys can nestle in here and the richness and softness of the nerves that travel through here are calm and quiet, it allows it's quiet functioning feedback of those nerves back to the kidneys. So the kidneys aren't firing off so much and the person doesn't have an excitable bladder. The person doesn't have to pee all the time. And the adrenal glands that sit on top of the kidneys can get the feedback from the kidneys to be calm and quiet. So we don't get so much adrenal fatigue. And we know that when we have adrenal fatigue for too long, it affects the thyroid and affects the immune system and can affect the eyes. They're directly related. I wouldn't even say indirect. They're directly related. It's like, Ma, he pinched me, right? Well, we got to tell him not to pinch you because the little kid is screaming and the mom's going, why are you screaming? Well, he's pinching me. Oh, thank you. So let's stop pinching the little kid sitting next to the big brother, so to speak. So we're involving that. And so by, let me go back. Hold on. Where are you? There. Okay. So when we can go in, so let's take the hands and go back, hold on, Linda, one sec, to the other side. I just want people to get the sense on the other side. Is that okay?
That's absolutely, but before we do, I would like to hear some feedback on this side and acknowledge it. I cannot believe it. This left side, it feels like the seat bone is cushy and open and allowing me just to move around it. And on the right side, it's like, it's all like there's no movement, no light. It's just on the point. And I don't know, it'd be interesting to hear. Just hear, let's acknowledge. And what I did was lift my foot up. My left foot up to so I could reach under it. I don't know if you can see. So I just lifted, I'm sitting on a chair and I just lifted it and was able to, go under and do exactly what you said. It was so interesting. But we only did that for moments and I have a completely different side. So I would love to hear.
You know, Linda, I love this. We could have done a pre and a post. The pre would have been lift that leg, lift that knee up to you, lift the other knee up to you. And then now let's go back. Let's go under here, rock around it, make it go clockwise, counterclockwise, really feel it, sense it, slide slowly, 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 the hands out. Notice it. Notice all this on that side. And now lift that side, lift the other side. And you'll notice the lifting is easier without saying, engage your core, blah, blah, blah. You want one way to dry it out is by engaging it. You don't want to engage it like the way they talk about core. You want it included in the movement. It needs to be softer rather than engagement actually means a whole other thing than the way they're saying it. So when we would say engage it, it's not, it's include it. Let it be done in a soft and supple way. We just made it softer and supple and now it can do its job to easily lift that leg. Poof.
Kathy has her hand up.
Kathy, Catherine.
And no, you unmute yourself. Go by Kathy, right? If you can say it, I think you told us that.
I do go by Catherine.
Oh, good. Oh,
yeah. So thank you. So I did my right side, which is the side that hurts, and it's been hurting this morning. And I played around with kind of getting to where you were talking about. And then I kind of finally felt it. And I felt like a little bit of a release, like you said, without even having to put pressure on it. And then just slowly moving, I just couldn't believe how much softer it felt. And I don't have pain, but I'm also sitting differently. as well. So that just changed the whole way that I was sitting, and it just feels softer. But even to start, when you were talking about the hands, just to say about that, I just love it so much because it's so intentional. Like, you just start at the very foundation and then move from there. And so it doesn't have to be these big dramatic things. It's just because it's so intentional and focused, it can be gentle and slow and kind, I guess, is what I feel like. A lot of the PT I've done has not been kind. It's been to challenge me, I guess, but it has not felt, I have almost felt more rigid and more tense after physical therapy, you know, Western physical therapy, than I have been doing these last two Saturdays that I've been able to join. So yeah, thank you.
Wow, wonderful. Thank you. I mean, not wonderful. I mean, thank you. Wonderful for the last part that you said, that you're feeling good in the last two Saturdays.
Eleanor.
Yes.
So Denise has just joined us. Hi, Denise. Could you just repeat a little? Because I think we can all appreciate hearing exactly. You lead us again on that right side, what we're doing. Just a little review.
Okay.
This has been amazing.
So we're talking about the psoas muscle today and all that it implicates. And all that is implicated, all that it implies, and all that is implicated through the psoas muscle, and the largeness of it. If you take your hands to be nice and soft, right, that's in a fist, that's the size of each psoas. And it starts at the 12th thoracic vertebrae, and it goes down lumbar 1 to 5, and it hooks to the inside of the thigh bones. And you could go back and watch the recording on the detail of it. But what we did was, well, we're going to do this on the other side now. Let's do it. So again, we're going to open up our hands and we give just thanks, right? And we know that when we bring in the flow and the energy that the universe provides, wherever we are, we feel that come in through the palms of our hands. And then we use our hands differently. And then we can very gently, with those soft hands, take them easily and slide them under the thigh to where you feel the inside of the thigh bone. You feel the inside, that small head, and we're just going to use our raccoon finger pads to be underneath that bone. And now we're going to just rock the pelvis without doing anything with the fingers. We're going to rock the pelvis around the clock, around that area, and really take it to the side and rock it around. And notice how you're breathing and how you can just make your spine so easily bendable all the way up to the head, so that the head goes from the top bottom of the ischium all the way to the top of the head, rocking around, and then go counterclockwise. And notice how it affects your breath and your breathing. Rocking around it. And you may feel a little bit sore in areas that around the tailbone or the sacrum, where it's like a little bit of a pulling or stretching of a muscle. It's just talking to your system in a way that it hasn't been engaged. And really bringing the awareness of your breathing. And then go again around the clock the other way. And that you feel that the head is making a clock also. And then come back to the middle. Let yourself rest. And very slowly,
as slowly as you welcomed your hands in, start to slide the fingers out from underneath you. Take your time. This in itself is a process of its own. Slowly sliding it out. As slowly as it took to do the movement lesson. And then let your hands rest. And notice what it's like below where you were leaning. Are you? Honey, it's okay. Honey, come in. And just notice, are you almost falling on that side? Do you feel like your side just goes easily that way? What is that ease in your body? And what is that like on that whole side of the body? Because it's not just the psoas, now it's the iliopsoas. Feel that. Can you feel that all the way up into your neck and into your skull and into your jaw? Linda, what did you notice?
I have this platform I'm sitting on now. I mean, a completely different awareness. It feels like my seat bones have just become this cushy, amazing like a platform for the rest of my body as I'm sitting. It's true, it's completely wild.
So imagine that you would turn to that leg as if you were going to lift that leg and bring that leg up to you. Just notice how easy that is. See, that's a big deal, because that is what we have been encouraging in our contralateral movement, right? That it's, right? It's the movement, it's getting when our spine is bendable and springy, and the psoas is involved, it's a huge difference in the way that we're describing. So I'm going to go back. Hold on. So you can see, look, we encourage through, so we had our hand under the bone of the femur, right back here, right where Linda's going to describe what she was doing with Roland. And then we're rocking around this. So we're moving the spine, and the psoas is allowing the spine to be able to be moved. And then the softness that you feel all along the belly is the iliopsoas, the iliacus, the iliopsoas. That area gets quite achy in a lot of people, and it gets achy and caught up right in here. So as it goes through the groin area. Okay, and I'm just going to give you a couple more slides to tell you what it does, right? That the organs rest on the psoas and respond to its actions, including the kidneys, like we talked about. Very importantly, the psoas acts as a pendulum, but not so that we rock side to side, but it just is pendulous in its ability for us to be able to move in that supple way. And this rockingness, moving of the psoas, stimulates flow through fluids and tissues back to the cells, Linda.
So important.
Then just one more slide. Normal walking, tones, sorry for saying normal, but not wobbling side to side, not shuffling, but good contralateral walking, which is what we've been working with for the last few months. It tones the psoas and lengthens it with every step without doing these silly psoas stretches or digging in. The walking does it. Walking is the best thing you can do for yourself in the world. And with this healthy walking and range of movement, it stimulates the organs and massages the spine. And this is a statement by Liz Koch. Is the psoas special, you know, she loves the Feldenkrais work and has the most incredible book out there on it, but it stimulates the organs. Wow. For those organs to function well and massages the spine. You got to be kidding me. That's beautiful. And when the psoas moves freely, it allows the legs to move freely because it's not over-engaged and all dried out. So chronic over-engagement dries it out.
Uh-huh. What is ROM?
Yeah.
Hold on, what is ROM?
Oh, range of motion.
Oh, right.
But I call it range of motion. I call it range of movement because range of motion, you know, back in the old days, the physical therapist would just go, and I don't care if you hurt. This is what I got to do. And I'm like, no, we need it in movement with awareness. You're involved in it. You're doing it. It's a teaching and learning motion moment. So I'm going to call it range of movement. But ROM stands for, that's what they would call it, meaning it can move in all cardinal directions, the leg. Catherine. Oh, you have your hand up. Oh, okay. I'll remove your hand. Well, let's see if I can do that. Lower hand. Does anybody have any feedback you want to give? So Linda, what I would love, I have more to teach, but I would love for you to take it from here to start off a little bit about the conversation, what you were doing. Then we'll take the 8 minute break or whatever we do, 8 or 10 minute break, and then come back and guide us through that. And then I will take us through more of this if that works for you.
Right. Well, first of all, before I go there, I would like to finish on this. Pam, what were you meaning when you talked about the connection to your diaphragm? What was that?
I think that was a statement that there's kind of not only maybe a physical connection in terms of, you know, I can't speak for the anatomy, but the sense of maybe the diaphragm nestling with the psoas muscles. But it was more the emotional sense that if you, well, let me think a minute, Linda. It was more the emotional sense that there's an emotional connection with how your psoas moves. And because of that, or included in that, it's also an emotional connection how your diaphragm moves. And because I have this undiagnosable respiratory thing, inflammation or something, and I have constant shortness of breath, that really made an impact for me. It's like, you know, because I kind of looked at all sorts of angles about this and haven't found anything that was helpful. So this idea that the psoas, this kind of big connecting sense of movement and connection with the brain and the lungs and the organs and your legs and feet, and how you feel or how you think, just kind of got the wheels going for me. Sorry, that's kind of clumsy.
Not at all. I'm looking while you're talking for a picture. Hold on. I had it in my note. So keep on talking. I'm going to show you
Hold on. One sec. Oh, okay. Here, I found it. One sec. I'm so glad you brought that up. You're gonna love this. Look at this. Okay. There. Do you see? So here's the psoas. Sorry, it's sort of you're seeing everything on my screen. Let me try to.
We're not.
Oh, you're not. Oh, fantastic. Okay. So look at this. Ooh, la, la. Here's the psoas major and here's the psoas minor. They innervate in the same area. Look at how the diaphragm. So they go to the 12th thoracic vertebrae and lumbar 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Excuse me, 5. So 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And then 12th thoracic vertebrae up here. Look at the floor of the diaphragm goes to all the way to the lumbar vertebrae here, the same place where the psoas is connecting to. Do you see that, Pam? Okay. Now you will also look at the head of the muscle and it's very involved in the diaphragm. So when the diaphragm is expanded, the psoas does one thing. When the diaphragm is distended, goes down, then it does another thing. If the diaphragm and the nerves connect together, if the diaphragm stays short and tight, then the initial response to the psoas is to be tight. If the psoas is tight up here, it could be involved why the lungs are, the diaphragm is tight. And the lungs are, you know, the diaphragm is involved in the lungs being able to breathe. So tight lungs is very involved with diaphragm. So then you have an era called COVID that affects the lungs, right? Or bronchitis or croup or, you know, another terrible flu season coming in with upper respiratory. It's all the time, right? Then the diaphragm becomes tight, the lungs become inhibited, the psoas becomes shortened. So we can make the diaphragm more supple by doing these movements that encourage the psoas to be soft and supple. And then the lungs start to improve by side effect. It's a good side effect, by the way. Mm.
That is just really interesting. Can I say something else?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I think Linda and Eleanor, when you started talking about the emotional aspect, I think we think about emotions being kind of this psychological issue. I'll just use that word. And we can, you know, I know as Feldenkrais practitioners, T-Touch practitioners, we think about kind of the emotions that are put in, that are connected with anxiety or pain or movement. But when you were showing us this, Eleanor, it really struck me that we don't necessarily think of emotions being connected with really big, strong muscle groups, like the psoas. I think that's kind of where I've been mulling this over a little bit. You know, the psoas seems like this big, strong muscle, you know, and the idea that its function and or our emotions kind of affect each other. You know, it's not that I don't know that, but it's just kind of like this light bulb went off for me. So there you go.
Well, and I'm glad there's so much that can be said about that, right? Because we've talked about I'm going to stop sharing, come back. Can you see me now? If you see my image, but hear me at another screen. But the vagus nerve wraps through it. The vagus nerve is innervated through the diaphragm, through that area, wraps around and through the psoas. We've talked about the vagus nerve, that it's physically starts in the base of the brain and travels down. But physiologically, 85 to 90% of those nerve fibers travel from the gut up to the brain. So what's going on in the gut informs the vagus nerve what to travel up to the brain, not just neurologically, but biochemically. So if our gut bacteria is off, we had a stomach flu, we had food poisoning, or we took strong dose of antibiotics, toy, they save our lives, right? But we didn't get onto probiotics and get the gut bacteria back on track. We can feel pretty crappy up in the head, sluggish, lethargic, icky, low, just not getting it, you know, just not feeling it, just not something. And that's because 85, 90% of those nerve fibers aren't getting what they're used to getting to travel up to the brain to tell the brain, ooh la la, I'm feeling so good today. I'm going to go for a walk. I'm going to say hello to people. How you doing? Oh, I'm feeling great. And instead, it's not traveling anything good up there because it's not your gut bacteria. It's something else's bacteria. And your brain doesn't know how to take in that information. It could be crappy bacteria. That's why bacterial infections really can change the way we feel and think. That's why stomach bugs, irritable bowel, colitis, IBS, you know, all of that stuff. Person will say, I feel bloated and I feel foggy headed. I don't feel like I'm me. Because that's those nerve fibers. Those nerve fibers travel through the psoas. So if the psoas is getting hunkered down tight and dried out and tighter on one side than the other, then it's inhibiting the quality, the functioning of those nerve fibers to travel up to the brain to feel oh so good. And they don't just travel straight to the brain. They go to the lungs and the heart and the brain.
Okay, stop. Hence why we, yeah. Stop here a moment, because this is something I think we really need to look at. You've talked about you mentioned the connection, how the psoas wraps around through the vagus system. And now we're looking at these nerve fibers and how it affects, and the gut and the bacteria. All this was our intention with this inspiring self-care, is that we would get to know ourselves from the inside and be able to affect it from the outside. And I want us to really think of this again, because you've said so many important things in about four or five sentences.
Sorry, that, yeah.
No, sorry. It's
I heard it now, coming out. Now,
woo. No, it's because you're just like bringing us through, channeling it. Now let's just let's just feel this in ourselves. Let's really stop and think. The genius that you are bringing together here is really important to all of us, because we're all affected by all of this. And you never hear it in this way or think of the interaction. And when we talk about like how the psoas wraps through the vagus nerve, the vagus system, I like just anybody who has any thoughts about it or questions, it's very much affecting me and the bacteria and how the emotions, talking about the emotions of COVID, the emotions of the fear, the emotions that many of us here have stuff we're dealing with. The normal medical help doesn't help us. There's so much other, you know, components we have to bring in terms of nutrients and oxygen and all of these things that we do. But this thinking, going back to thinking of the bacteria that comes into us that is not useful or not our own. And then I'm thinking, I want to stay here. I want to feel this in this group. We have a lot of, you know, people who've been really paying attention for many years to how we can best take care of this vessel for our soul. for our vessel for our personality too, our being here. Incredible.
Mm-hmm.
So what came to me when you said you wanted me to talk about what I'm doing with Roland, as you went up diaphragm and then up to the brain and how we're feeling, one of the things after I started working with Roland with the whole pelvis and working to supple, to activate, to innervate, to awaken that part of his back where he's had arthritis, for quite a few years and felt like he couldn't move. And then I started thinking about the psoas and did a little work based on what we were doing a few weeks ago, months ago. And then my hands wanted to move up the ladder. Teresa, mouse on the ladder. And it's just going up each side of the spine, and fingers on each side and doing a little circle. And then I did a little sponge in. And then walking up both sides of the spine, little circle in with the breath, like taking it in, connecting. But now I have much more sense of what I'm connecting to just from what we looked at. Walking up. And then it just, I did this all the way up the spine, all the way up to the back of the occiput. And then all the way up the head. And then I went back down, and that's when we connected at some point with the psoas. And that really clicked in here. And so I would like us, just anything, any of this makes you like, you talked before about the emotions. Where's Sandy? And oh, there you are, Sandy. I was thinking, when we don't see, both Sandra and Sandy, both, and Linda, when you don't see well, what that emotion does to all of us, how it affects all of this interconnected that you're talking about here. Mm. And the emotions, and Pam, with what you've been dealing with, nobody has an answer. I think being able to just be with this feeling, looking again in that second image that you showed us with the psoas and the connection to the diaphragm. And then you're talking about, the connection to the emotions. And then the vagus system and the vagus nerve wrapping around there. What it's doing for me, and what I'm thinking as I'm going up the spine with Roland, we call this movement in the T-Touch, in the mouse up the ladder. I can't remember. It's a really cute thing that Karen Freiling, I think, came up with, this little mouse going up the ladder of the vertebrae. And I'm thinking as I'm doing this, an experience that I had of Sybil Taylor, who did, she was my co-author in two of my books. And she also did shiatsu. And she did one session of shiatsu on me going up the spine. And we were sharing, like Eleanor and I do. And I could feel when she would, like when she was feeling for something specific, I could tell a difference when she went at 90 degrees to my spine, or when it was slightly tipped in either way, and I could guide her to go straight in. And it was a completely different feeling. It was like I described this, our basic spiral circle, as having the key to unlock the door to enter this intelligence in every cell, to connect in with cellular wisdom. And so as we're doing this, Eleanor, as you're speaking, you're leading us on this inner way. And I want us to really honor that. And also what came to me as you were speaking, honor the fact that when Moshe did that session on a person, he said, you know, this is something that's difficult to do because it looks like it's an intimate, area to work on. But actually, when you look at it the way we are here and we realize what we're doing, it's not. But Moshe managed to do that because he was giving us a session at that point, as Eleanor said, like, what he specifically said, if you want to be able to do what I do, don't learn anatomy, do not learn physiology, because if you do, you will not believe that you can make these changes. And yet, Eleanor, what you're taking this us on another level, looking at this in another way, that I know if Moshe were here today, he would like really get what we're doing, because when you add in the T-touch to it and add that we're connecting to the cellular intelligence, and then as you said, we want to get the nervous system going up the spine to all of this. I'm in a sense of wonder right now. And any of your feelings or thoughts before we take this little break and come back? What I'm seeing in some of you, and I'm just saying, wait a minute, those of you who are dealing with eye issues, just think of that connection. Think of how those eyes are connected with our emotions. Think of how when I feel, my Epstein-Barr virus, my Hashimoto's, my, effects on all of this, it's all connected. And so when I think, we can just bring these parts together that Eleanor is speaking about, actually, like connecting with this sense of feeling in a different way. And every one of us just sitting here listening opens doors for all of us to be able to go inside, and whatever is going on, let's look at all these connections. So I'm just closing my eyes because I'm feeling my inside and I'm feeling the connection to everything that you've been leading us, Eleanor, in this phenomenal way. So let's take a 10-minute break. It's 11 after. 2 here in Florida in the morning.
Angel numbers.
Okay.
Oh, it's 11:11 here anyway.
Perfect. I love it. Okay. So in 10 minutes, 21, we'll be back. And I just want to honor what you're bringing and how you're bringing this through in this one. Love it. 11 is your birthday, Catherine. Oh my gosh, how exciting. Love it. All right. We'll end the recording. Stop it at this point and come back in 10 minutes. Let's come back in 11 minutes.
Okay.